el de por la mañana. El de por la mañana ahí salieron muchas cosas ahí, temprano también. Como Dios se va moviendo en el pueblo.
In the morning one. The morning one, many things came out there early as well. In a progressive way, how God is moving in the people. For every time, see, there is a vindicated word when it is fulfilled. While it's not fulfilled, then it's a word that is given and it is prophecy. And the prophecy is spoken of. The prophecy is increased in the other messenger, giving a little more light. Another messenger comes and gives a little more light, but continues to be prophecy still. It does not come to be the fulfillment. It does not become what that prophecy is saying, which is to fulfill that. Brother Branham spoke of, we will ride this trail again. In order to carry out certain things, he gave a little more light. But the things that were said, where that trail would be ridden again, he did not fulfill them. Nor did Brother William fulfill them. He gave more light of what was spoken, but it was not fulfilled in them. Therefore, what they brought was increased prophecy, which they did not fulfill. It was not the fulfillment of that prophecy. It was not the vivification of that word brought to life, to fulfillment. That's why, notice, in the time of the past ages, everyone was waiting for the transformation. But that prophetic word was not fulfilled in them. They all had to leave. The resurrection will then be fulfilled in them. There is already a prophetic word for them, ready, prepared to be fulfilled. They waited anxiously for that moment, but they did not receive it. A faith came to a certain place, to the place that was given to it. It could not increase that faith because there was no word to increase that faith in that age. It came that far. The next messenger brought more light and gave a little more faith. Gave a little more light. But in our time, it is a time when Brother Branham said, we need that rapturing faith. That translational faith. Notice, then in the pertaining age of this time, is where that faith is going to increase to the level where it did not increase in any of the ages. How does faith increase in every age? Well, the messenger bringing more word. And when the time comes, as it is at this time, when that prophetic word is fulfilled, being quickened, being fulfilled, that's when we have the full faith. That's when we have the full faith. And this time is a time when we are coming to that, to a total faith, to a faith where there will be no limits. The prophetic word was not fulfilled in them. How? Well, by not carrying out what they spoke. And if they left, well then they did not belong to the fulfillment of that prophetic word. The time must come for that to be fulfilled. Now, they go on to fulfill what corresponds to them. They cannot go further than what they have already fulfilled, but only up to that part that they have already fulfilled. And when they leave, then they come to fulfill their part, which is the resurrection. They do not increase beyond that. They will not receive more than what they spoke during the time when they lived. Because when they depart, then the fulfillment of the prophecies while they are alive in those bodies is cut off. Every word and every prophecy has to be fulfilled on this planet Earth, in this world of light, time, and matter. It has to be fulfilled here. When a person departs, a prophetic word is then marked in that person who left, and they will fulfill it. What is it? The resurrection. That is to leave a mark on which prophetic word each person fulfills. While he is alive, it is still latent that that person will fulfill that prophetic word that was spoken. Once he departs, then he automatically fulfills the word of resurrection. It is something that marks the fulfillment of that prophetic word is the life of that person. It's like the life of the blood, which is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It fulfills the prophetic word promised for each age by becoming flesh in the messenger and therefore in the elect of that age. But that word continues to produce the effect as it becomes incarnate in each messenger of each age. But it comes to a point where it has to enter the most holy place. That life of the blood has to enter all the way in, which didn't happen with Judas Iscariot. There, when we were talking about the dip sop, look, there's a place here where he talks about that. There are several, but in the one of the Word made flesh, he talked about that hard time that would come. And he says, with the Word, just as hard time came for Jesus in the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord, he says, this is the same thing they did with Jesus. 2,000 years ago, they made the people believe that he was a false prophet, a mad Samaritan, and that he did all those things by the finger of Beelzebub. When that time comes, which is at hand, we will see a repetition of what happened there. We will see the equivalent. Now look, if that which is coming, he says, that was in 85. It didn't happen. That is 95, 2005, 2015, 2025. That's 40 years ago when he spoke it. A generation passed there. Almost. We're almost a generation past then. 85 to 2025. Yes, 40 years. That wasn't fulfilled either in our beloved brother William. A person cannot come with a glorified body to suffer, because a glorified body, that's why we're going to have a glorified body, to not suffer and to not see death anymore. Then they get tangled up when he says, no, that it's a glorified body, because he spoke certain things. He said, and if he has to die, then he dies. And if he has to, that's setting an example that a glorified body has no limits. But what he's showing there is that when we have that glorified body, it is not to see death like the glorified body that Jesus received. Then is a person with the glorified body going to come to suffer, to have scorn, reproaches, and mockery and things? How are you going to obtain in a glorified body things like that when it's a perfect body? Who is going to see imperfection in a glorified body? Who is going to point to a glorified body as something imperfect? Nobody can point to a glorified body like that. So they get tangled in all that. But it's also promised that it was going to be like that at this time. It was going to be the equivalent. Now, he continues to say, when that time comes, which is at hand, we will see a repetition of what happened there. We will see the equivalent. Jesus said, but woe to that man through whom the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of sinners. It was better for him that he had not been born. when Jesus gave the dip sop to Judas Iscariot, the scripture says that after the morsel, the devil entered. Judas was no longer with them, for he was planning the betrayal of the incarnate word. Judas was not with Jesus in that difficult hour in which Jesus said, "My soul is very saddened." Notice, how can a glorified body come to say, "My soul is saddened"? It would all be in an equivalent. Father, if you can pass this vessel from me, pass it. Judas was no longer there because he was planning the betrayal of his master, from whom he had learned the message that pertained to that time, who had taught him the message that he had to preach at that time. He had already finished his ministry, Judas, and was going to begin another one, that is, another ministry, with anointing of the prince of darkness. When Judas took the sop that was given to him, after the sop, the devil came in and anointed him, blinded him. In other words, he was marked. The same word will blind some and open the eyes of others. That is the dipped sop. Like the example I gave on Sunday morning. They're in a puddle and they play at school and they push each other. And the person falls into the puddle, wet sneakers at 7:30 in the morning, half an hour before the bell rings, and with the wet feet, socks and everything wet. And in the classroom, the person was already marked. And oh my, they looked at him. That's the one that was, the one who was pushed into the puddle. Sometimes the teacher would be good and send him to school if home was nearby. Go and change your sneakers. But in this case, notice, as God's elect go up to a higher state, which is the age of the cornerstone, and then they come back and say, "Yeah, we've been in the cornerstone for a long time. We were in the dispensation of the kingdom." And there you see people fulfilling all that. They are blinded with the same word. And there, the others who are from the same group that is coming, that has left, can identify who had the wet sneakers. How? With spiritual blindness. They already identify themselves as those that the same bread, the very word, blinds them. Here we have God preparing little messiahs, little anointed ones. And there you see them, little Judas, who are blinded by the same word. The very word blinds them. And do you see how the word is given and brought to all? Is given to all. It produces that revival in some, that awakening. It awakens them to a new age, to a new dispensation. And in others, it blinds them. Because notice, at the table, when you eat with them, they have the habit of putting bread like this all over the table. Yeah, if it's bread, they put it, they put other things, but, and they take, you can take from this plate, you can take from that one. With their hand, you slice it. They have a sauce and they dip it. And you see that table there, where normally you eat with your small plate and everything there. If you spill some rice, you push it to the side so it's not seen. But there in that table, that is, you take the bread, you take this from there, you grab and everybody eats like there like that. See? The table is served, but the same bread can be useful and of nourishment for one, but for others it can be bad for them. And it's the same bread. Now notice, Jesus gave them the message there. And to him, he gave the dipped sop. The spiritual blindness came in there with the very word. And that bread surely had been eaten by the others. Why not to the others? That person was already destined to do that. And they say, no, it has to be a minister. That represents ministers and people as individuals as well, both men and women too. It represents all those who were blinded. And to top it off, they go against the divine program. So that it wouldn't fulfill what? So that it wouldn't be fulfilled as they wandered there, that big group that went to catch Jesus. They did not want it to be fulfilled. One, the sacrifice. Although they did not know the importance of that. But they were anointed to carry that out by the spirit of the devil. And they thought that with that, they had settled it. And it was the greatest victory that was coming. Others wanted to move ahead and place him as king. But neither, that is before all of these events. But always, you see, he couldn't, they wanted to kill him first on some occasions. He couldn't die before the appointed time. He had to be at the right time. Now, look, we are entering the days before the beginning of Holy Week. It begins now, right? On Sunday? The 13th? Palm Sunday. That is to say, let's say that these were the days. For now on, let's say, the days in which everything was already getting ready for that moment of the betrayal of the word. Let's say a more or less equivalent time. Now look, he continues to say, the devil came in and anointed him, blinded him. He blinded him with the same word, like Eve. With the same word, what did the devil do? He blinded her. No. It's not that you're going to die, it's that your eyes will be opened. The same word the devil used to blind Eve. At the Council of Nicaea, at the start of the ages, notice how the bride there, Brother Branham says, that she was also blinded. In other words, she was deceived. See? Later, we will look for that little part there. But now the bride will not be deceived. She won't be deceived. The bride will not be deceived now. Now he says, he anointed him, he blinded him, and there Judas did all that was written, that one of those who ate at the bread and put his hands in Jesus' dish would do. That's how it was written, and that's how it was to be fulfilled according to the divine promise. They ate the bread, they would stick their hand in. How many people put their hands in the message and grab here, message here? Even people who are not even ministers, even women take the message. No, because they send this extract and they send this other excerpt. And you can share a message, an excerpt for blessing. But when you take something to fight, and take this one and put one this one, and they direct from behind, put on this one and this other one, that is to attack, that is to fight. With what? With the same message, with the same word. And they have access to the bread that is served on the table. But that bread, for them, becomes spiritual blindness. And when the equivalent of those things at the coming of the Son of Man in the West are fulfilled, we will have a picture parallel to that time again, but updated. Everything must fill the requirements, and everything is going to be placed in a certain way, in a certain manner, fill the qualifications, the environment, and everything for that to be fulfilled. What shall we do with Jesus, who will be manifesting himself? What shall we do with Jesus, who will be manifesting himself through the last messenger on this earth? What shall we do with the Word made flesh in that difficult hour through which the Word made flesh will pass? Now, you mean to tell me that that will be fulfilled in Brother Branham, those who believe that he is going to come, or that that will be fulfilled when our Brother William comes? Do you see? And they hear that, and they are still blind, because they cannot understand that, even so clear. God taking him out of the midst and taking him away, the messenger that was in the midst of the people, bringing us those good tidings, that foreshadow, forerunner, because he was a forerunner too. Even taking him away, they cannot see that they must look for the Word made flesh, alive in the midst of the people, so that the people can become, or ask the question, what shall I do with Jesus in this time? What will I do with the Word made flesh? When he comes, we won't have to ask ourselves that question, because when they all come, and our Brother William comes, our Brother Branham, and all those who have departed, we do know what we will do with all those who will come. If they have the opportunity to do something in the work in that time, we're going to give them the opportunity in those 30 to 40 days. And what are we going to do with them? Well, we will all go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what we will do. But now, everyone tries to evade that word or that question, because the answer is within each one. When that difficult time comes, there we will know the answer to that question of each one. Or you betray it, and it's easy. No, I'm not connected with those people. No, I'm here quietly in my place. Don't do anything to me because I have nothing to do with it. They begin to deny. But do you know about that movement? No, I don't. I have some tapes here. What I do is I play the tapes and I don't put anything else. And that person is dead. I'm listening to some videos there. I'm telling you exactly what those people will do, so you already know. Here, I am prophesying what they will do. No, I'm not connected with them. I have nothing to do with them. But you contributed and all. Ah, yes, but it was while the other person was alive. Now, I don't even contribute anymore. I don't even give anything as an offering for that place. Because there's a person there, an usurper, who went and there is doing some things at the Latin America level, the whole world, moving a lot of people, and I don't even know what he's doing. And when the equivalent of those things at the coming of the Son of Man in the West are fulfilled, we will have a picture parallel to that time again, but updated. What shall we do with Jesus, who will be manifesting himself through his last messenger on this earth? What shall we do with the Word made flesh in that difficult hour through which the Word made flesh will pass? What shall we do in that hour? It has been said before, for when it happens, be not troubled. Jesus says in his word, this is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what will happen in this end time. But after that manifestation, after that difficult moment, the resurrection of all the saints will come. Do you want it more clearly? After that difficult moment of the betrayal of the word, of the crucifixion of the word in an updated form in this time, what will come? The resurrection. There our Brother William and all those who are there in the sixth dimension will come. Do you see that there are events that have to happen first? And a person who is listening to me now, who has common sense, must begin to pray, Lord, then please let me see the Word made flesh today, so that I do not make the same mistake that those of Jesus' time made, who did not see the Word incarnate in that man, a young carpenter of Nazareth, one from the common people, one who spoke and who was heard. We read it in the scripture these days. Willingly the people, I think Brother Branham quoted it, the people heard him willingly. He was of the common people. That way in one-on-one. After that, the resurrection of all the saints will come. And the transformation of all the elect will come. After what? After that difficult moment of the Word made flesh. I know how everything is going to happen and how it is going to develop. But you see, Jesus knew what was going to happen, that difficult moment. But he also knew that if he did not fall to the ground and die, he was going to be left alone. What was it worth for Jesus to be left with the kingdom, with the world, all alone? It was worthless, because then the work that was carried out in times past, those little animals that were sacrificed, presenting, typifying that perfect lamb, was going to be in vain. All those people would be lost, because what they had done in the past dispensations would be ineffective. In other words, everything had a purpose. Although there were sufferings, although there would be struggles, and although in the end it would come to the death of the veil of flesh, everything would work together for good. That is why he said on that occasion, "Do not be troubled." And the Son of Man says the same thing today when the hour comes. Do not be troubled. And that is where that beautiful word comes in. Fear not, little flock. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In other words, what would appear or will appear to be as if everything is over, as if it has reached the end of everything. This has already vanished. This is over. That is where the glorification and vindication of that word comes, which is a word incarnate. Remember that that is a sign that will be seen by the whole planet Earth. Satellite, internet, the whole world will see this sign, a worldwide sign. No one could touch Moses until he fulfilled the work, Brother Branham says. And no one can touch that instrument until the work is finished. There are more those who are with us than those who are against us. He says, that's why the Lord said, "He who endures to the end, he will be saved." This one will be transformed in this end time, because he will have persevered to the end, even though the circumstances have been contrary. Although it appears otherwise, God will fulfill the resurrection and the transformation of our bodies. There's another place that also tells us about this. This was, let's see, in, I think it is in the message, The Eternity. So, since we are on that line already, let's talk a little bit more about what that means of dipped sop, the eternity. This was preached in 78, May 14th, 1978, here in Puerto Rico. Look, he says, there's birds there. Brother Branham says, and they're in the sixth dimension. That's how it sounds. There are trees, there are rivers. And you feel an atmosphere of peace. Look, he says. Now, there we find that the disciples were very interested in knowing who Jesus was talking about. And he didn't want to tell them. And Peter makes a sign to John that John was closest to Jesus. Now, John knew who it was, just as the fifth Elijah knows that final ministry, the ministry of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He knows who is the one that tried to ride the ministerial trail of Elijah in that horse, which was pale like. And that Brother Branham says that in the dream, if you have not been ordained of God to walk this path, then get off. And he says that that brother, he says, he signs like this, or he has sent me letters, Brother Branham says. Remember, it was a dream. In other words, he knew his name. And there's a place where Brother Branham says, someday we will know who that is. Because in one part there in the vision, it says that that brethren came, or that person came, crying. In other words, he realized what he was doing. Surely, he's a minister because to be mounted on a horse, and the horse's power, it also represents the word. Then it has to be someone who ministers the word. And if he tried to do something or pretend to do something, believing that he was a one, then he has to be a minister. And there's a message there that he says, someday we will know the name of that person. Because there we see him repenting, coming, and may God grant that that person find mercy. Because if he was not ordained for that, to usurp the position of prophet, well, that has some consequences. What happened to Aaron and Miriam? Look, they began to say, has not God also spoken for us? And it says, and the Lord heard it. Because they think they can do and undo, and God's not watching. And they don't, God sees everything, God sees everything, and they think God does not see that. It says that the word is sharper and more piercing than any two-edged sword, piercing and discerning to the soul and to the joints and all the things. You will not hide from your intentions against the word, from the fulfillment of the prophecy, what we were talking about in the beginning. Now look. Now, there we find that the disciples were very interested in knowing who Jesus was talking about, and he didn't want to tell them. And Peter makes a sign to John, because John was closest to Jesus, and he was the one lying on Jesus' chest. And he makes a sign to John to ask him. Like, ask him. like the lips is like, one already knows how that body language is. Go on, ask him with his eyes. He and John already knew those signs. It seems they had a good chemistry. And he makes a sign to John to ask him to see which of us is the man who is to deliver him. And then John asks Jesus, and Jesus says to him, look, to whom I shall give the dipsop, that's Owen. But look there, at the table, everybody grabbed bread. And surely he gave, pass me a piece, because there you, give me a piece of that one. And right there, you grab that piece of bread. You don't know if his hands, how, where he had it, if he had washed them or not. And give me a piece of that bread and a piece of meat from that one. And he gave it to you. Everybody eats from the table there. But Jesus made that specific detail known to him. In other words, it is exactly the act of blindness to Judas. Now, how does God update that and fulfill that in this end time? We have already been seeing it in the updated form with the very word that is being received. The very word blinds them. That's why I have told them, if you need any other message, we will also give it to you. There are even messages that I have not had from that time, where he was very clear and said, those messages of 70-something have to be seen In the light of today, you cannot take it there and give it. Only the Holy Spirit is the one who is ordained for that. And he put and placed a person to be in charge of that, who is our brother Miguel. The one who stepped out of that line, he no longer believed or never believed in the ministry that our brother Miguel has. Did you see? How much more are they not going to believe either in another ministry that God had fulfilled, manifesting in the midst of the people as a fulfillment of the seventh seal? They will not believe, much less will they believe. He said, send that to Miguel and have Miguel correct it and check it and then put it to the people. But no, then they do it more. Every time one talks about this, then they take more messages from there and play them. Those are rebellious people. There one sees the rebelliousness. There one sees where the blindness is, where the dipped sop is. Do you see how simple everything is? And yet, look, get me some from them. Because it seems that they have some that they are taking from brethren who have some tapes in their homes, and they give them, they pass them to us. Others that are against the work of God, against the tent vision, therefore they are against the resurrection, against the transformation and rapture, to speak clearly against what they are against. And sometimes they do not give them to us. Tapes that come out, but the copier or a copy like that appears, and they send them to us. And those little things that were spoken there also come out. And in the light of today, of this time, then it is updated. And if something needs to be corrected, the only one who can correct it is the Holy Spirit, who brought it through that messenger. And now, through the messenger that God has in the midst of the people. But many don't understand how God works in every age and dispensation. Now, look, he says, look, whoever I give the dip sop to, that's the one. He told John secretly. Meaning that wasn't something he preached as he would preach. He didn't even speak it when he was sending the people away and staying with his disciples, like in the parable of the wheat and the tares, which says, and dismissed the people, his disciples came to him and apart and asked him. And they said many things to him, many questions. What is this tares, the wheat? Show us. And there he taught them. Meaning, not like that either, but this was something in secret with John. And remember that John represents the last messenger. Therefore, what the Holy Spirit spoke to that last messenger, in those last revelations he gave him, and also when he spoke, tell the people to stop baptisms, to stop Holy Supper, to stop feet washing, to stop the callings. Anybody could say, oh, he didn't preach that. Well, then you would have to judge Jesus and say that thing that Jesus said that had been, that the dip sop, that he gave it to Judas, then that's not true because he did not preach it. You would have to go back. And every time that happened, you are then against that which God was carrying out there at that time. In other words, see how people, when they trip over the veil, they deny even scriptural things and say, that can't be. He has to speak it from the pulpit. Where have we ever heard our brother William say that the dispensation of grace closed? Where did we hear our brother William say that baptisms ended? Then they start to question. They would have to question Jesus there. But since they do not see the word, the prophetic word being fulfilled, then they become blinded. Blinded people with the same word. And when I would come in, he would say to me, how did he say it? And I would put him, look, I had to talk about it on top of the roof, because that's where you have to talk about it. That's where you talk about it. How did he say it? There, I would play the audio and he would listen to it. And if I said something that was A little bit soft? No. Say it like this. And I would go back with another greeting, another audio, and I would say it. And when I said it to him, he would say, ah, that's good. And other things he told me that last night. Because this had already happened in January. Already in January, when we had talked about no baptisms and everything, the dispensation of grace had been closed. There, he told me other things to continue that ministerial work under the fulfillment of the coming of that angel who was different from the rest, fulfilling the seventh seal, fulfilling the coming of the Lord. And everything was going to be as it was shown in the message of the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, our brother Branham. In his message is everything that is happening today. There is no more and no less. Now when, look, when a dispensation is closed, it is because that messenger that was going to start that new dispensation had already been there. Already of a certain age. And when it is closing, do you see how the past age is being closed? And in this case, the prophetic eye of that past messenger closes. But the next messenger is already there. Look, there was fulfilled what happened with Elisha and Elijah. If thou shalt see me when I depart, it shall be given unto thee a double portion. Type and figure of that ministry that was to remain in the midst of the church, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah in the midst of his church to bring to the people the rapturing faith. And that prophetic eye that passed was closed. I even closed his eyes. When I went in, he had his beautiful eyes open. I closed them. They were a little bit down. Then Luis Jorge came in. I remember because I did not dare to squeeze him. And then Luis came in the door and he closed them. But see how God even allowed me to do that, to physically close that prophetic eye in that veil of flesh. Now, I saw him leave. No other minister was in all that final time with him. If one of them had gone through all that I went through, all the way through the end, then it would have been that minister. And he would have had a track record like I had. And he would have had all the characteristics that I have. He said he would introduce himself. Therefore, all the others are impersonators, usurpers of this messenger that God has raised up in the midst of the people, who is carrying out what is relevant to the fulfillment of the tent vision, where everything was to be developed in a progressive way since its birth. And as I have said, and if it had been you, what would you have done? Look, the best thing to do is to get up on a Sunday from home, get dressed, and sit there and praise God, receive the blessing, pray, and go home. That's the easiest position. And search and read during the week, pray as a family, and be in communion during the week, and come back on Sunday or the days you have activities as well. But for one to rise and assume the position that God has given him to fulfill the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, that has to be only one. There cannot be many. It has to be one who fulfills that word, that prophecy that was brought. Now look, there is so much to talk about there, but we would then go into so many details which are being made known as they are being fulfilled. So they do not start imitating people. They start inventing things. There's a place here, I don't know if it's this one, they start inventing things, the ministers, to divert the attention of the people. And then John asks Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "Look, to whom I give the dab to sop, that's the one." He told John secretly. They noticed that something was moving amongst them. Peter made a sign to John, and John caught what he wanted to tell him, and then he lay down and asked him secretly about who the man was. And when he asked him, Jesus also spoke to him secretly. That is, that was something private. Oh, how the other disciples would have felt. And now, apart from what he says, now they are talking in secret among themselves. Because, but look at that. How many have said, "Hey, he says that there, he spoke to him that night, that he spoke to him secretly there." The very same. Let him say what he was told, and even saying what he said, and speaking and doing what he told him, acting, carrying out the work that was entrusted to him, they don't believe. Well, then why do you want to know what he told him? Look at the works. That's what he told me to do. He said to Jesus, "Tell us now if you're the Christ. Speak to us openly and do not disturb us anymore." But I've already said it. Oh my goodness. Now he says, he has blasphemed. But if you're asking me, well, I'm telling you. And it is exactly at this time the same thing. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to you clearly. And then he says, this is an usurper. Do you see how there's no way to understand people? The unbeliever is an unbeliever, no matter how much you show him everything. Clearly, that veil, which is the instrument, the veil of flesh, blinds him. Now, he says, and now, apart from what he says, they are talking in secret among themselves. And now the thing, well, that, how would some people think? Whoever I give the dab to sop, that's the one. Well, he did. And then John knew who it was that Jesus had already spoken about on other occasions. Then they asked themselves, well, who is it? See, one knew. There, John knew. Because that was the key. Surely John was watchful. Let me look. As soon as he takes the bread, eats a little bit, and gives it to that person, that's a win. Because he gave him the signal. He gave him the key. Which there was represented all those who were going to be against Jesus. Therefore, through that leader, who was going to instill unbelief in the others, when he got up and left, he was going to look for all the others. John was going to know not only the one who gave him the wet bread, but all those who were going to follow him. John was going to identify who they were, those who were going to be against Jesus. The same as in this end time. He already knows who they are. Well, who is it? Who is it? Each one asked Jesus. Who is it? Jesus said to them. When Judas asked Jesus, "Lord, is it I?" Jesus said to him, "You said so." The same thing he said to, it seems to me, who did he go to? It was Pilate, wasn't it? When Pilate said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "You have said so." When Judas asked him, "Lord, is it me?" Jesus said to him, "Thou hast said it. Thou hast said it." Then we find that after having eaten the dipped sop, he got up. We do not know under what excuse. You know, some can get up from a table with any excuse. Instead of having repented, instead of having starting to cry and shout, do you know what he does? He slyly gets up, goes his way, and goes to sell him to the leaders of that first dispensation. His heart all the time was with those of the first dispensation, with the past dispensation. Do you see that many have stayed in the past dispensation? And they can kick and scream, saying they are in the dispensation of the kingdom, and the only evidence is that they don't believe in the messenger of that new dispensation. No, it's that the messenger is this one that is gone. There are many things there that show that there is another messenger, that there is another age, another dispensation. And when it is shown what dispensation they are in, automatically, the dispensation that started is carrying out things that were not carried out in the past dispensation. And many want to stay behind. No, but it's good for the woman to paint herself so that she's groomed. How can it be that in this time you are not going to groom yourself? Then they try to twist it and say, that's from the seventh age. When those who are against the prophetic word, against what was spoken of a new age and a new dispensation, are those who are saying that what God is carrying out is not, cannot be so. Now look, he says, his heart was with those of the first dispensation all the time, with the past dispensation. He was a very close friend of those of the first dispensation. And Brother Branham says, many draw Judas to be a very ugly man. He says, no. He was a good-looking man. He was a man of influence. So Judas was not just anything, as many people think. Apparently, Judas was even better than Jesus himself. He was the one who could go in and out in the midst of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was the one who had, you know, good friendship there. And instead of feeling sad, he would have wept. He would have repented. What he got was mad, anger. And he went to sell his master. He went to sell him. And in doing so, nobody knew what was going on. Jesus' disciples, the 11, followed with him, but nobody knew where Judas was. Nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew what part of the word was being fulfilled. But Jesus did know what was happening. And when he knew what was happening, imagine, he kept it in his heart. Imagine, having gone through all the things that had happened, if he told them now, that was a very heavy thing for them. It was so hard for them to be sad. And among them, they already knew who Jesus had spoken about. They already knew who he was and everything. At this time, already the elect already know and have knowledge of that movement, which is apparently like that and throwing darts. Those are darts of the enemy. But notice, it is already a movement that is magnifying little by little until all that persecution, all that squeeze is already fulfilled completely in that beast and man of sin, because it all starts from within. It all starts from home. He started from the house in whom? In Judas. But later, see, he got into politics, religious matters. He even got into the people because they even asked. Yes, because he said, in an occasion he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will rise it up. In other words, even testimonies of the same people. I heard that in a preaching. See, everything was being moved to where it united all those groups. But where did it start? Here in the house, at the table. That's where it all came from. From those within the house. And then it went on until it got out of control. Let's say, because then Jesus, when he sees everything, he says, oh gosh, what did I do? No, no, wait a minute. No. See, it got out of hand. Maybe he thought, if Jesus has been spared from so many things, I have seen him when he was going to be arrested, and then he disappeared. I saw him with my own eyes. Surely he will be spared from this one. But now I have my money here. It was good for me to betray him. They gave me so much. I have a high position now. Ah, yes. Jesus is going to get out of it. Where did he go? He went there again. To those leaders. Look, no, no. Take the money. Let him go. I have delivered innocent blood. No. Well, no. Now it was too late. No, it was already... It was too late. How is the government going to go back there? How is the government going to look bad in front of all the people? They were going to look bad. They were even going to say, then you are also followers of Jesus. They were already so far ahead in the accusations and the blasphemies and everything they had done with Jesus that they had to back out now and come and bring him band-aids and to cure him. And, oh, Jesus, we messed up here. Come here. No, it was too late. The damage was already done. The damage was uncorrectable. That is why we have to be careful with our tongue, what we speak. Because by your words, you will be judged. You will be condemned. Look up that scripture, if you have it there. In other words, it is a small member, Paul also says, but it's the one that does the most harm. Meaning that everything we say that is scriptural, when we talk about the word and the work that God is carrying out, when we talk about be words of blessing. Oh, the thing about the tongue. James 3:5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. But let me look it up exactly, because this is the portion. Matthew 12:37. For by your words, 37, look, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, but an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. See, in other words, whatever he has inside, that's what he brings out. If he has good stored, then he will bring out good. And if he has bad, then he will bring out blasphemy, criticism, mockery. What the heart has, that's what will come out of the mouth. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. This is one version. You have to look up the 1960s version, and the other one, thou shalt be damned, I think the other version says. Now look, let's see. This is, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. See? Now it says, he continues to say in the message, eternity. They knew very well who he was and all that amongst them, among the disciples, among Jesus' followers. That in itself was a scandal for them. Imagine, after so much time going through all those things, we have to look with our eyes open the history of Jesus' ministry and the history of the death and delivery of Jesus. If there was anyone among them who believed as he appeared to believe, well, it was him. It was Judas. The others recognized their faults. But the Most Holy One, the one who was seen, you know, he was a person who, you know, he had importance, was Judas. But he never believed in Jesus. He never believed in that ministry. And what he always did was to look for the occasion to betray him to those of the first dispensation. But imagine, he couldn't until everything was fulfilled. He could not until everything was fulfilled. When what had to be fulfilled was fulfilled, and the time came, then we find that he did it, because it says that the spirit of the devil entered into him. And then when he entered into him, that was the devil in all his fullness. For what? To try to destroy God in all his fullness, in human flesh, in Jesus. So they were both there. by both being there, we find that he was just waiting for the opportunity. So we can see the history of the past, and we can see that all those things happened, and nobody could prevent them. And the one who knew about those things, which was Jesus, he was quiet, knowing all the things that had to be fulfilled. Now, we also find that there was a scandal in their midst, and it was a scandal of Peter, who denied the Lord. He even cursed and all those things, but then he wept bitterly. See? He wept bitterly and was hurt in great way. But when Peter's scandal, and he was always messing up, you know, as we say, he was always making mistakes, and that was it. You know something? They knew him. That is, they already knew Peter. The other disciples, but Peter, after he made his mistake, he wept bitterly. He felt very sorry. He felt it. He repented. But Judas had already turned him in. Judas had already done everything, and it was already known who was the one who would betray Jesus. One of those who was in the ministry of Jesus, but that through the biblical history, we find that every time he could, every time Judas could do something, he did it. And he continues to talk about all that in the rest of the message. Now notice how everything has to be fulfilled in an updated form. And not only in ministers, but in people who are also being placed in the ranks of the enemy. There's a message that I'm looking for that speaks about the ranks. I don't know if they sent me that study or that excerpt from. He talks about the ranks. They're placing themselves in the ranks of the enemy. If we can find it, where he talks about that. In the search, let's see. Because, see, each one is going to place himself. This is the one. Look here. The law of light. Let's see here. Let's see if it's in this one. The law of light. This was in 78, says our brother William. So, if you do not subject your spirit to the laws of the sixth dimension, if your spirit is not subject to the laws of the sixth dimension, and the laws of the sixth dimension is the word, then if your spirit is not subject to the law of the word of God, then that says that your spirit is not of the sixth dimension. And if it's not of the sixth dimension, then what dimension is it from? Well, your spirit expresses itself through that body of flesh that you have. The works that are done through that body of flesh are the works of the spirit that is inside of you. And what's on the outside shows what's on the inside. The way you live, the outward way you live, says where you are from. Remember the 12 minutes we spoke? In a brief moment there, and we started to talk about something there, a subject. Those fallen angels, because he says that the devil and his angels were cast out, and he circles that there, but the devil and his angels were cast out. In other words, there is that army, and if the devil comes incarnate, where do those angels also come incarnate? Well, in people. And that is where those spirits are identified. But at the same time, the theophanies of each elect are incarnating in them. And they are producing that from which that spirit has come, that theophany has come, which is the sixth dimension. The others will reflect and show those spirits of the fifth dimension. That is why for the children of God to be able to live according to the dimension of which they are, they then have to listen. They have to hear the law of God, the word of God. And the word of God is and belongs to the sixth dimension. Therefore, the revelation of the word for us comes from there in order to live in the time in which we are, according to God's plan for the time in which we live. Any person who does not like or who rises up against the word of God for the time in which one lives, then the word itself identifies him and signals him as being such a person who is not of God. You see? Because if he were of God, he would hear the voice of God for the time in which he lives. And if he rebels against God's plan, then he places himself as an enemy of God. And the rebellion that Lucifer carried out there in heaven and then brought here to earth, then every person who rebels against God's plan for the time in which he lives is counted as one from Lucifer's army. There are the fallen angels, those who were cast out with the devil to earth. Did you see it yet? There in human beings, everyone who stands up against the tent vision, to speak plainly, against what God is carrying out in the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, against all that God is fulfilling for the blessing of the church bride, even for the foolish, and even for the Hebrew people, against all that divine program. Look, if only they were even a little bit smart and would see that the one who will stand up to the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, is that instrument. None of them are going to have the pants to face the devil incarnate. They are going to run away. And some of them are also going to join him, that movement. They are not realizing that the David, the courageous one, as he faced Goliath there, is the one who can deliver them from divine judgment and from falling into the hands of the beast, or the mark of the beast, from the seal of the beast, instead of placing themselves in the ranks of the Creator of heavens and earth, the one who can deliver them. They are against the one who is going to give his face, his life for them. In other words, they're not even seeing that this is a warrior, this is the brave one who will be facing the Antichrist. But they say, this one has come out of there from among the bunch of them. I already know him. I was going to say this and this and this and that. He's serving. This is where he says it. He is serving in the ranks of Lucifer's army, of that fallen archangel who is currently known as the devil or Satan. But there's an army also, which is a good army, which keeps the word and serves God. And that is the army of God. And you, if you obey the word and keep the word and believe the word and live it, you belong in the army of God. Your actions, your deeds, the way you live, says who you are. In this trajectory, we are being taught, being corrected. And if something happens in our lives, look, like Peter there, we bitterly repent and move on because it is God who is doing the work in each one of us. And God sees our heart. He sees that there is sincerity, that there is sincere repentance. He says, if seven times he, the righteous, falls, seven times he rises up, it says there. We do not get discouraged, but we move on, recognizing what we did wrong, and we correct it, and move on, and we fall, and we come back up, we get up. not like Judas, who instead of getting up to repent, as he says there, and weeping bitterly and repenting, rather got up and left. He left quietly. Not the chosen one. The chosen one, if he gets up instead, he gets up and raises his hands to heaven and says, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to fail you. I want to go on. I want to go on fighting. And he continues forward. And he faces whatever happens. He faces it and is honest with God. And I continue forward. I don't go quietly and keep quietly, but I confess it to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Now notice how we can see which rank we are in and which army we are in. We are in the army of God, serving God with fear and trembling, aware that we are in the time where we are already inside the most holy place, where the Shekinah, the pillar of fire, is helping us and showing us the way where we must go in this world of darkness, of wickedness, where there is no other hope but the second coming of the Lord, which we have all received. The army of God. We can put that as a subject. Serving in the army of God. Serving in the army of God. And here, there's a group of warriors, workers, as in other countries, brothers and sisters, and here in Puerto Rico, in the congregation and all, serving in the army of God, because we are those courageous ones of the Son of David, who, apart from having the keys of hell and death, has the keys of David. That's another subject that is extensive, but by having the keys of David, he is the one who is going to open that eternal kingdom, that messianic kingdom, that kingdom of the throne of David, because he has the keys of David as well, and he has the keys of hell and death. Serving in God's army. Well, God keep you and bless you. And today is what? Tuesday, April 8th of this year, 2025. Around these days, I think Adalberto's birthday was on these days. I don't know if it was the 8th or the 9th. And there are many brethren who also have their birthdays in April. And in different countries too. God bless you all. And congratulations to all of you, because my brother's birthday is today. Tomorrow is my birthday tomorrow. Much congratulations. And God bless you all who have a birthday in the month of April. And through all the year. Congratulations to everyone. Every day is a blessing in the kingdom of God, because every day of the calendar, there is a child of God born. Therefore, the whole year is happy, because every day an elect of God was born. Well, God bless you, an elect of the army of God. Until next time, we are already here. I've been seeing the works that have been carried out. That area of the taping is already quite advanced. They're working on the casings, the manholes, for the electric and water pipes. And the sanitary piping, there are some stations that are being prepared in different areas in this land on this west side. And also the staking out of the finished part of the parking lot. And we're also going with the first piece. Later we will take some pictures. We would then move on to the center. It's quite a lot of material that is going to be needed there. So to all those who continue praying and collaborating with the Great Tent Cathedral, the works that are still being carried out, and also in the maintenance to maintain all this is quite a lot. And all the other expenses of electricity and of the payments of the land, of the taxes, the crim it's called over here, and all the pertaining payments, the insurance as well. May God bless you and keep you, and may God continue providing everything until, as He has done until now. And may He continue to do so until we leave here, because there's always expenses in a land and a building like this one. And we thank God that He has provided everything. We have what we need to keep the place going. He has provided us with certain businesses like For Life as well, which has been a great blessing, where we also have the products, and those products are beneficial for our bodies. And it has also been a blessing and help for the brethren. Be careful with those businesses that sometimes tell you they are good, but they are businesses that are deceiving if you don't have something in return. In a message, I think he spoke, if there's a business like that, speak with Miguel, who knows about those businesses, if they're good or not. Because many times, they enter into a business, apparently it's good, and they give you the bait. There's some brethren from Venezuela, I think. They had told me something like that. This has been going on for a long time. And at one time, they told Brother William, that was in Brazil. They told him about a business, and there he was listening to what happened. They asked him for something, and then they gave him more, and then they asked him again, and Brother William tells him, because you see, there was no business. It was after the business that Brother William had there in that Nikon and Amway. I don't know, another one that had products. I remember that there were no products in that one, and Brother William said, you have to be careful with those businesses, because it could be a scam. And indeed, the person disappeared, and did not return to them. Then later on, another time in Venezuela, the same thing happened. And recently, there's also a movement around there as well. Be careful, because apparently it looks good, but it is deceiving. And what one wants is to serve the Lord. And if you see an opportunity like that, well, you will grab it, because you will have more freedom, apparently. But it is something that is not good. You should get advice and not fall into that. And if you fell into that, then move on, and then you have more. You won't fall into that again. Believe me, you won't fall into that again. And it's good that you always consult it. That is what we're here for, both Brother Miguel and myself, to help you in everything. And we all, one another, we help each other. As I have always said to you, if you see something in me, or I see something in you, I go and solve it. Talk about it. We do not keep quiet, because that's why we're partners. And not only here, but in every country. They know that I'm here to help them, and you help me. And we all make that great army to take to the goal, to take the Son of David, to seat him on the throne of David. That's a goal. And we all fight in the same line, the line of the army of God. Do not lean to Luzbel's ranks. There's only one line. Some wanted to get out of the line, he says. From the last ones in the back, says Brother Branham, who saw the bride marching, and he was shouting at her. He couldn't. He was already in the sixth dimension. But the bride has the ministries of Moses and Elijah at this time, and that of Jesus, who is lining them up so that they will all enter the promised land of the new body. Well, God bless you and keep you. And that had already been in the end, as we say, a potpourri. A little something that was happening on these days, but we learn from that and we move on. Those are the, as we say, the hays that fall into the milk. we take them out and we move on. Never be dismayed and never treat badly the one who gave you the business and was left badly. Maybe one was left well, and when he left, one always falls on Chio's page. It's not that Chio is, that's a saying here. Now Chio is going to think that Chio is my brother-in-law, that I don't know, but it's an idiom. One falls on Chio's page and there one is marked. But don't go to, but apologize. And if you can help him there, then help him. And if not, then, well, then whatever it was a decision. And it was a decision of the person as an individual. But we do not blame and we do not point. But rather, we unite more and we are more wise in those things too. We are very careful at this time of all those things too. Well, may God always keep us and help us. Each other helping us to reach the goal we all want. And that is to have that new body where we will not fail. Where everything is perfect. Where we will not suffer. Where everything is happiness. Where everything is joy. And now we are in a time of testing in which there is no one to stop us. Well, God bless you and keep you. I'm glad to have seen you. That you're fine. Some skinnier as others. Yep. Look how they hit their bellies. No, you're okay. You're fine. We're changed. Change is how you say it. I don't know. It sounded good. We're fine. The important thing is that we're alive. And we're seeing the fulfillment of what God has promised. That is the important thing. The rest, we put it in nourishing ourselves well, because what's a good in being skinny, shriveled up, and undernourished compared to being full, strong, and vigorous? Eliud, see, he's well built. But see, he's happy. That's his build. He's tough. If he gets skinny, maybe he'll get uglier. No, Eliud. At least his eyes help him. They're beautiful. But Eliud, no. God looks at all of us. I said it because that's how we talk here with the boys. Maybe we cut that out, but we all see ourselves as God already saw us. Chubby, skinny, tall, short, bald, whatever. Those are his children. That's his army. Look, one has a little bit of a beard. Elias has a little bit of beard there. He looks good too. Let's not judge him because he has a beard. See? Each one that is the way he wants to be and feels good. His self-esteem and his things. Let him be. He's one with God. Don't judge him. Worry about yourself. Where are you standing? What line are you in? Stop pointing and looking at the speck in someone else's eye when you yourself have not a joist. What's something bigger than a joist? A sheet metal. You have a whole chunk of iron in your eye. In other words, worry about yourself and not start pointing fingers at others, but rather be one with God, because you will give account for yourself. You're not going to give account for that one or that one or that one. Hold your tongue is what you must do, and start praying to God, asking God for you, for your life, for your family, to enter the promised land of the new body. That is what is up to each one of you. To the rest, there the person will give an account to God. And if it's a messenger, he with God. Then you would be getting in trouble. Judging a prophet, that's the worst thing a person can do. And if you want to know what has happened to those people, look in history. And there you have a little bit of what can happen to that person when you judge a prophet. Well, they will keep Judas Iscariot company with Dathan, Abiram, and Korah, and all of them, those who do that. God bless you and keep you all. And let's continue. And let's continue on that narrow road there that was seen by Brother Branham's friend. A narrow road. Well, there. That struggle that he saw there was a tremendous struggle that he had in that vision there, what was happening. But remember that he was reflecting in Elijah. In other words, in Brother Branham, that ministry of Elijah, where the word being spoken, notice, being the prophet that God was there operating and working in the midst of the people, he was reflecting everything that that ministry would be carrying out at this time. That's why he puts there, while our Brother Branham is resting, and he writes, reflecting himself. Because it was a ministry that was there, that God was operating at that time. Therefore, when he says to him, to you has been given the power to bind it, you know right there that he is referring to this ministry which holds the keys. And see that in order to bind the devil and his followers and his fallen angels, he has to have the keys. He binds him and he is bound 1,000 years. And then he comes and unbinds him. Meaning that he can bind and unbind because he has the keys. What thou shalt loose on earth shall be unbinded in heaven, and what thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever he does on earth will have all the divine support. He'll open the eyes of some and blind the eyes of others. See? That is the dipped sop. As the understanding is closed to some, but it is open. It is light. That food, that manna. Well, goodbye. God bless you and keep you. And until another time, where we will be here chatting, and also on Sunday, Friday, in the Friday study, and Sunday, and also this next week is Holy Week, Friday 18th. 18th. There we will have that activity at 1. I was speaking with Brother Miguel. We can have it at 1 in the afternoon that day. That day is free. We can have it at 1, and then on Sunday, the pertaining activity. I will be here as far as I'm aware. And so we're seeing how God is fulfilling everything. And He is the one who guides me in all my steps. I don't move if He does not move me. It's best to look, it's best to be here, get up early and working and studying and come here and here and go around, and that's the best thing. But the best thing for God is what I'm doing. If I have to go out, I go out, and He helps me in everything. And much word is also brought in all these activities. So keep praying always for these trips, and may God continue to provide us with everything we need. As God, the provider, has done so far, what we see there in the life of Joseph, that everything he touched prospered. Everything he did prospered. So much so, in this time, everything will prosper, that even the corruptible temporal body would prosper into an eternal and glorified body. Even that will prosper in the elect of God. Jose's presence is always prosperous. Well, God bless and keep you. That's another potpourri, another assortment. Or in Miguel's time, when our brother William would say, the dessert. But that's something that Miguel always asked for, or he stayed a little bit, because that way Brother William kept on speaking. And we learn from all that as well, because as long as there are receptive hearts and there are souls that cry out, the word continues to go out. God bless you, as He blesses all the brethren in all countries. And I bring you blessings from all the brethren who sometimes write to me and tell me personally, Tell the workers that God bless them. Tell them that they have a great blessing, that they are privileged to be there, to have you. Today, I traveled so many days to come to see you here. I took 3 buses, 4 buses. I traveled on foot. I walked so many routes. I arrived here because I wanted to be here in this activity. They always have you there. Tell them that they are blessed that they have you there. They can see you on Sundays. We travel days sometimes to see an activity. They value that when one goes and they get to see, even from a distance. Sometimes one can see better through the screen than being there because one looks small, but they are there in person, enjoying the blessings that God pours over there. That is why many are going to be judged, where the same place that is the ministry. Many have left, they have moved away. Later on, you will see the weeping and gnawing. That will be something very sad. That being in the same place, they didn't attend. Because they have called him and take him as Beelzebub, usurper, and all those things that they have said. That will be very sad when they realize what they've done. But this has happened in other times, and at this end time, it was not going to be the exception. We move forward. If we have to help them, we help them in whatever we have to help them. But we do not deviate. We keep moving forward with our eyes focused on the target, which is already well adjusted. Our eyes are already well adjusted. Nothing will distract us. But that target that is already there before us, it is already located. The target is already located. So what we have to do is to breathe. You see that when the shot is going to be taken, I don't know if you take a breath there and stay still. There's a stillness. And there could be a chaos all over. But that sight is set there. Let's not be distracted by anything. Let's not spend time on things that distract us, but always looking at the target. Well, God, keep you and bless you all.